Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Sports City. It's your boy TP Timeless back at the helm, man. We about to set this thing off, man. Y'all, I'm going to keep it real with y'all, Sports City. I'm going to keep it real. 60 minutes and I'm done. I'm not doing nothing else after 60 minutes. I'm going to close this show right at 60 minutes. Y'all know I'm a diehard Thunder fan. I got to watch the game tonight. The Thunder hosts the Los Angeles Lakers. So I got to watch my boys. Meep, Meep, and DeRangelo go up against the Black Mamba for the last time. And, you know, ever since I was a Sonic fan, when Kobe used to terrorize us, you know what I'm saying? It's the last time I get to see it, man. I'm not going to lie. Of course, y'all know I want us to win. But now it's like the last time I get to see the matchup with him going up against my boy. So I'm feeling some type of way about the matchup. But like I said, I'm done at the 60-minute mark. The game starts at 8 o'clock. I am watching my boys go at it with the Lakers, even though people like Ty, hey, probably ain't no draw there. I want to watch it, okay? This is the last time I get to see Kobe against the Thunder. Like you know, I'm happy to see, you know, us play him for the last time. I don't want to make it seem like, yo, that everything's on the line and we can beat them because the Thunder been slipping up on some games, man. But I'm getting into too much. I'm getting into too many of these pops. Back away from me, man. I done took off the blazer and loosened up the tie. Step aside, the kitchen timeless is alive. Okay, man. The caller number is 917-889-9592. Like I said, I'm done at 60 minutes. They are not holding me in this kitchen, feet to the fire, none of that stuff. No, they won't get it, Sports City. I got to watch my boys go at it. I know Russell's a L.A., Long Beach, California kid. I know he grew up watching Kobe. So I'm going to do as much as I can to get to that game, man. I got to watch that game. But there's a lot of stuff to jump into. From what happened over the weekend, ever since the end of the brunch yesterday, ending the day of Sunday, coming into today, a lot of interesting stuff mulling into Monday as well as kicking into our Monday evening. But let me get into this kitchen to see how I got things going, calling in by way of the Virginia region, a.k.a. the DMV, better known as the Metro. I got Tommy B in the building. Welcome to the wrap-up. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm good. And I'm going to go out and say a special thank you for everything you've done for the game of basketball, Kobe Bryant. I hope you had two good games in your career. And that's not saying this anything high because he's playing your Thunder. He deserves to go out. He actually deserves to go out better than what he's going out now.
Don't make me growl. Don't make me growl. I don't want to growl. I don't want to growl. But you know what? I'm not going to lie. I wish I would have seen him play better. Like I would want Kobe Bryant to go out like on a note like Michael Jordan did. You know what I'm saying? Like when Mike was in the, you know, on the Washington Wizards, they didn't make the playoffs, but the Wizards looked all right. Michael Jordan even had a 51-point game. I remember that game. He was playing up against Vince Carter. Like he was putting them numbers up against Vince Carter. It's like Kobe is struggling to get to the finish line so bad. This is what kills me about the Lakers right now. They have over 62 losses on the season, people, or they're at 62. They have 62 losses on the season, and Byron Scott is still sitting there. They were, like, three or four seasons ago, they fired Mike Brown, the head coach that came from Cleveland to L.A. in a four-game situation. As soon as the first four games were down, they fired him. They got rid of him. Byron Scott gets to hang on to a whole bunch of misfits and youngsters, and watch Kobe Bryant go out this way. I'm scratching my head, shaking my head, whatever y'all want to call it. I'm digging it too much for the city. I'm trying my best. Tommy already got me rattled in the green room. Y'all can thank Tommy B for this one, because I'm at the edge of my seat. I'm stuttering. Y'all hear me? Like I'm aggressive. Like because of this dude. If it wasn't for him yesterday hitting me up, stirring my day up, and then tagging me on today, okay, Sports Today, I'm gonna calm down. But y'all can
thank Tommy. By the way, I'm sorry for jinxing your twins too.
Yeah, y'all can thank Tommy for the way I am right now. I've been trying to chill, man. And look, the crazy part is I even took a picture of how I was chilling. This was before Tommy sent me the message. I took a picture. I was chilling. Tommy sends me the message, and the whole face the expression changed, yo. But you know, that's personal. Okay, calling in by way of the Arizona region, the Southwest, Mr. Silver, a.k.a. Nacho, welcome to the Raffle. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm feeling good, and good riddance. See you later, number 24, number 8. Peace out.
Wow, he's being dirty. Whoa, okay. Now look. If I wasn't in Sports City, if I wasn't being analytical, you probably get some of that from me. You probably get like 20% of what he just said out of me like that. I'd have that. Because, like I said, I ain't gonna lie. I remember them days when, you know, Ray Allen wasn't in a Sonic jersey, and Gary Payton and them just left. Kobe used to come up the Key Arena and kick the living crap out of us. Like, kick him and Shaq. Like, I couldn't stand it. I couldn't take it. We just had nothing to do with him. Nobody to defend Kobe. Nobody to deal with Shaq. I always dreamt of this day. Like, I can't wait to see Kobe out of the league. Like, because he kills us. And it was just because of the nature of him playing basketball. Now, watching him get older and I don't really want to blame it on Father Time. I want to blame it on his injuries, you know, with the leg break that he had, the Achilles, his rotator cuff, like his body broke down on him. And I truly think it's because he's been running around for 20 years. He's been running around the NBA for 20 years, since 96 till now. So, you know, much as I didn't like him because of my team, I do respect what he brought to the game and how he was a straight killer. And a lot of people that are in the NBA that have the potential to be like this need to emulate that killer instinct. I don't want to say emulate their game like that, because it's tough to be like a Kobe Bryant who patterned or modeled his game from what he's seen from Mike. A lot of people may say that it's not like that, but they have a lot of similarities. I don't even want to get into that or dig into that, but I would like a lot of the Stone Cold killers at certain points in the game to taste blood in the midst of a game and be able to knock teams dead like that. And that's what Kobe brought to the game. As much as Nacho would be mad, you know, with the battle that the Suns would have up against the Lakers is similar to the way I used to feel about the Sonics and the Lakers or the Thunder and the Lakers when they were young. But once they got older, the Thunder actually started taking care of business up against Kobe. So I actually feel like the tide has turned somewhat. But now I have to worry about if he do stay put. If one of them don't get called to L.A. by Mitch Kupchak. But these dudes got me already in dishes, and I ain't even cook yet. I ain't even start cooking. Okay, call the number 917-889-9592. First topic I'm getting to, you already know, elephant in the room situation. Golden State breaks the streak in San Antonio, which was held as long as February 14th of 97, where the last time the Golden State Warriors won in San Antonio, which that was Latrell Sprewell and them. This was before Spree got moved. You know what I'm saying? So this is interesting to see it get done. The Warriors are one game away from breaking the record, in which they play the Grizzlies next in the Oracle in Oakland, California. So you know everybody's going to be screaming their faces off. They're already saying the likes of Warrior tickets at home and the game Wednesday night in the Staples Center for the Lakers and their final game up against the Utah Jazz are ridiculously high. They're saying that these could be star-studded events for both venues, both at the Oracle with Steve Kerr and his Warriors and also in L.A., even though it's tough for me to think that a lot of people would want to go watch the L.A. Lakers the way that they're playing now, but they truly would just be out there for Kobe to play. And I'm being selfish, and I hope they're out there listening to me. Kobe, I'm going to tell you this. I got two requests from you. The first one is give everybody 48 minutes. You're done, Kobe. I want to see you play all 48 minutes, at least that, because I'm not gonna lie. I'm gonna miss it. I'm gonna miss it. As much as I didn't like Kobe Bryant as a player on the basketball court, as much as you can, man. I know that you're 36, 37 in that range. You know, he's 37 going on 38. As much as you can. I know he won't play 48 minutes, but I'm just saying. Everybody's going to want to see him play everything. And the second request that I do have, even though I'm a guy that likes the team, you know, outside of L.A., I'm not a Laker fan. Kobe, do me this favor. I hope you can hear me. I hope somebody listening to Sports City, put on the number 8. Put on the number 8. The way that you came in the league is the way that you should bounce. Switch up everything. Take off the 24. Put on number 8. Yeah, I respect that. You changed the 8 because everybody found out that Mike D'Antoni was your favorite player, so you switched it and did the 24 to have a one-up on Michael Jordan away from the 23, 2x4 made 8 out. That was funniest. I love it. Put on the number 8, Kobe. Put on the number 8. That's the only 2 requests I have. Go out there and play as much as you can. Stop letting these youngsters go in the game and blow games with the Lakers and put on the number 8. That's all I have. Okay. Anything else? In retrospect of the last 2 games for Kobe, before we get away from it.
Yeah, you know, he could. The last game Wednesday night can affect the Western Conference playoffs. They could literally knock Utah Jazz out of that.
And that's if Houston don't lose again.
Right.
And that's a whole nother discussion because the Houston Rockets. I don't know what they want to do. Should they fold it up as it is right now and just break this thing up? Because you obviously could tell that there's something going on with that Houston Rockets team, man. As much as good as the talent that they have there with Trevor Ariza, James Harden, Dwight Howard, they got a lot of big names on that team. For them to be under 500, fighting to be an 8 seed, and let's be honest, they're fighting to be an 8 seed. Who wants to play Golden State out the gate? I don't. I don't want to play them first 2 games in the Oracle. I mean, eventually you're going to end up playing them, but I want to get some mojo in the playoffs, at least get a couple of wins on our belt. I want to start out watching Steph go for 27 or better and getting everybody hyping. No. And you already know how Houston looked last year in the Western Conference Finals. They looked terrible up against Golden State also. So do they want to go into that thing on, you know, hands and knees, crawling in there, or – if they play Utah and Utah's actually been playing the Lakers well, is another thing too. So that's something that I'm looking at also. Nacho, anything that you'd like to add to it before we get away from it?
Watching these past couple years of Kobe Bryant, it's probably been the best time I've had watching Kobe since he came in the league. I've enjoyed every bit of it. And being a Suns fan, I would have enjoyed Kobe to come back for one more year and continue to ruin that team. But he's leaving, and good riddance. Other than that, man, we got some more topics. We only got an hour, you said.
Wow.
He's right. He's right. I'd rather see Kobe go somewhere else. Like even though he's a lifer with the Lakers, for him to look this bad, I'm saying it. This is a legend. Kobe Bryant is a legend. And for them to be this bad, like, that, shame on Mitch Kupchak, shame on the Buss family. I can't really point my fingers at the NBA, even though the NBA did mess up, you know, Chris Paul being there. If Chris Paul would have been a Laker, probably would have been a different outcome or something. Who knows? But shame on several different situations in front of that. But I'm gonna get away from it. I was hanging on to the Golden State situation with them breaking that streak down in San Antonio, in which San Antonio lost their first home game of the season. And the record is still clear that nobody in NBA history has won all of their home games on their home floor. And this is a situation that the Spurs could have notched. And they ended up letting the Warriors come into their arena and getting a victory on their floor. In which, this is the one thing that bothers me, knowing that Steve Kerr was a part of Coach Popovich's tree, a player, a part of his system as well. Park said that he was going to play everybody, right? That's what everybody heard. At least that's what I heard. He's going to play everybody. Why was Tim Duncan resting? That's the one thing I'm thinking about. One of the biggest players in NBA lifetime, another legend, is out. Even though these guys made it interesting and it got close at one point, I still feel like it's a tough scenario if you're not battling on all cylinders going up against the Golden State Warriors. But anything else in front of the streak being snapped, which was held as long as 19 years, for the Warriors finally getting a win on San Antonio's floor?
Yeah.
I got a question for you and Nacho.
Yes.
You watched the game, right?
Yes.
Was it me or was there some questionable calls in that game? Now, I'm not saying anything. I'm not trying to put a twist, but there were some questionable calls.
Okay, give me some of the calls that you have in mind.
Well, the shot that believe it was 2-3 minutes left in the might have been the third when the shot clock was running down. Then Steph threw that prayer up. He traveled. Of course, we know the NBA don't call it travel.
Yeah, they don't. They don't.
He traveled. He moved. He was shuffling both of his feet. He shuffled from one spot to the other spot of the floor. The one foul they called against, I know it was a big man, when they literally took, he jumped up and took the ball from Steph in the air, and they called a foul. The only reason they called that foul is because he fell down on the floor hard.
So do you think they're giving a pass to Steph because he's ideally the face of the NBA right now, reigning MVP, sitting on the record with the Chicago Bulls right now if they win their next game, which is more than likely with them at home up against the Grizzlies? Do you think they're more or less giving him a pass as of this current time in the league?
Yeah. I think the NBA wants this record broken. And I'll tell you right now, there's no way in hell this Golden State team would beat that 95-96 Bulls team with the way the roles of the defense was back then. Because back then you could hit check and everything else. Now you put a hand on an offensive player or barely touch them, they're blowing the whistle. You could put Scottie Pippen on Steph. Yeah, I don't see he. I don't even. I think he'd have to throw up prayers to make stuff. He'd have to shoot it because Scottie was shutting down.
The problem with the throwing up prayers portion of that is, their prayers if they're like 5% or 10% or even 20% or 25%, maybe even 30%. He's shooting 40-45% when you're talking about those quote-unquote prayer shots, like almost 50%. So they're like almost automatic now for him. So, and I think it was the first game of two against the Spurs when Steph throws up a running right-hander that he banks off. They're dribbling, the clock's running down. It was Oklahoma City at Oklahoma City against the Spurs in the first game. And the announcer said, you know, it's not even a prayer anymore. It's not even a luck shot anymore. It is what it is. So, Steph, he can't, you know, I think, you know, TP tries to joke about it and say, you know, he can pull up from 35, 40, but he really can. And it's absolutely scary how much he can do that and how well he can if he wanted to. The amount of three-pointers he's going to be making by the end of this year, you know, in comparison to what he already did, it's ridiculous. So I think this guy, you know, you could say you put whoever you want on him. Steph Curry's going to get his. He's still going to get his. And it's just the way it is. And, again, we talk about Steph Curry, and he's not even the best pure shooter on his team. Klay Thompson is. So it's like pick your poison. I understand. And the whole assumption, you know, I hate this. I really do hate the whole – in any sport, when we talk about if this team played that team, you know, according to the rules, we always want to jump back to the rules of back then. You know, we never stick to what's now and what they have to do now. For right now, the Golden State Warriors are doing everything within the confines of the rules and the legalities to be the best team possible, and they're blowing records out of the water. That's something
that's
not to stop at.
If that whole team played now, State has won 88-some games, especially with Jordan.
The amount of fouls that team would have, I mean, they would be in double bonus before, you know, the first quarter was over. I mean, let's be honest. I know we talk about how physical they let them be back then. Nowadays, that won't happen. So this whole assumption that now if they played now, they would just put up, you know, 200 points and dominate everyone, that physical style is going to get called time and time again. So now you've got 85 to 95% free throw shooters going to the line consistently, and that's a problem. So when you talk about this game now, those teams would have to change their style and be less aggressive. And I don't know if we could say a less aggressive 95-96 Bulls team would beat this Warriors team. So it works both ways.
This is the one thing I've got to say toward this discussion. I halfway agree with you, Nacho, and I halfway agree with Tommy as well. Here's why. The reason why I agree with Nacho is, like, you can't make that matchup happen. As much as we want to say, oh, this team can't beat that team, so on and so forth, or if we look at it from a football perspective, the Miami Dolphins are the only team to go unbeaten, but could they play nowadays with, you know, Mercury Morris and Greasy and guys like that nowadays, Zonka, you know, so it's tougher now that the athlete is bigger, stronger, faster, so on and so forth. So I understand that situation on that end. But then if you look at how soft these defenses play Golden State, it's like Pippen was a guy that did play the ball tough. He didn't back off of guys and let shooters shoot. Like, he made it tough for guys like Magic Johnson, made it tough for guys like Larry Bird, who was a shooter similar to Steph. So, you know, you have this debate that's going to continually go on if people allow it to go down. Like I said, I agree on both spectrums, and this is why I agree that if the Bulls did play the Warriors, that it would not be a shot. Just imagine whoever they wanted to put at point guard, whether it was Ron Harper or whoever wanted to run that point guard dealing with Steph, right? As soon as they pass and set up a screen so Mike would be in front of Steph, it'd be game over because Steph couldn't deal with Mike. Like Mike would get – what if Michael Jordan got Steph in foul trouble trying to deal with Mike in that post? Like, that fadeaway right there would get Steph in foul trouble putting his hands on Mike. Just as much as the defense is back off of Steph and give him the room to shoot those threes, Mike would get those calls because of the Jordan rules. Those Jordan rules still exist. Like you got to think about that. That's the one thing that I draw out of that situation. Now, the Steph situation, you got to think about this. Pippen and Jordan wanted to lock up the best player on the other side of the ball. They wanted to lock those dudes up. So that's what makes this tougher, that these guys actually egged on the challenge to go defend their best player, get their stops, and score on the other end. And this is another thing. Phil Jackson actually gave a lot of, you know, knowledge towards Steve Kerr. So just to see how these coaching minds would go up against each other also would be very interesting and stuff. But I got into a long, heated discussion and debate about if the sweep would go down. And I stuck on the firm side of going with the sweep. Whether they were in Oracle or they were in United Center in Chicago, I find it tough for, you know, the role player to get involved. I know Draymond will be big in that situation, but if Draymond ran into Dennis Rodman, he already gets technical fouls now. Picture Rodman in front of him. Rodman will get him kicked out of a game with technicals. Rodman used to get under the skin of, like, Karl Malone, things of that nature. Then you got Steph bothering, Scotty Pippen bothering Steph. Let's just say that. And then Mike is going to Clay Thompson. I don't even know if Clay Thompson would actually have a 17 point night against Michael Jordan, because we all know Mike played lockup D.
Tony
Kukoc. Like I'm not even going. I guess I'm keeping it big three against big three. If it was Draymond and Rodman and Pippen and Steph and Mike and Clay, like that, that's tough. That's tough. So like I said, we can never. This is just all like dream. Like this is all dreamland, and I can't. But this is just the way I'm doing it personally. This is how I would look at it personally. But
loose ball.
I mean, things could happen. I know Steve Kerr knows differences in that offense from the triangle and getting interesting things from Pop, and knowing that he was a shooter in both of those systems, it would be interesting.
Yeah,
it would be interesting. Anything else between these two, between Golden State? I mean, it's interesting that we already got Chicago and how we think the 72-10 team will go up against the 72-9 team as they await their final game up against the Memphis Grizzlies. Anything else before we get away from this? Okay, the silence helps me. Call the number 917-889-9592. Now, the next topic I want to get to, and this might bother these two, but I got to get to it. And this is a guy that me personally, for the team that I like, respect, follow, and love, the Detroit Lions, I wanted them to go after this guy after what just happened in the offseason. But now, Josh Gordon, once again, failed another drug test. Are you kidding me? You just got suspended for a whole freaking year, did not play football. And you got the nerve to be whatever you're doing. I don't know if you're smoking. I don't know if you're shooting. I don't know if you're sniffing. I don't have the full details on what he got caught up with. But he failed another drug test again. Again. And this is similar to, like, the pitcher from the Mets who's banned for life from baseball. Now you got a situation where Gordon – wherever they draw the line on his situation upcoming, and knowing that they're young, you know what I'm saying? And I can't even use this as an excuse. I'm not using this as an excuse for Josh Gordon because Josh, you bumped your head two or three times. Like, then you don't need nobody to come to you and say, stop doing that. You have millions of dollars in front of you, and you about to blow this. You are about to blow this. Your situation to me, and I hate to kind of draw the comparison because it wasn't as severe as his situation may be right now, but his situation to me is similar to Ricky Williams. Ricky Williams wanted to leave the NFL to go smoke weed. He wanted to go. He went to India, the country. He went to India in a teepee, no TVs, no outside social media, no cell phone, no nothing. And you know what the NFL did? They flew their tails all the way to India to go get him. They knew where he was. Said, no. We got millions of dollars invested in you. You bring your tail right back here, and you go run this damn ball, okay? That's what you go do, right? So Ricky comes back. I think at that time he went to the Ravens, if I'm not mistaken, because I think he had left the Dolphins at this point in time, and he went with the Ravens. And he had actually started running the ball well as he came back. But at least he had some type of turnaround and you know, found a compromise, if you will. Now it's a Josh Gordon situation. I can't wait to see how the rest of this pans out for Josh Gordon. But it's like, if you ever seen the movie American Pie, he did it again? Like, really? But I want to see how you guys feel about this. Like I said, with Calvin leaving the game, I definitely would have loved for the Lions to go after a guy like Josh Gordon. If they actually sit on this and, you know, let this guy come out and play ball, I don't know where the thing would stand with him right now. But how you guys feel about Josh Gordon moving forward? I'll go to you first, Nacho.
Now, the subsequent tests, the samples A and B, were both diluted, although they were both under the required, quote-unquote, threshold for negative and positive marijuana. Now, if you don't know much about it, when you take a drug test, there is a zero line. The zero line is if you had no, nothing, nada, zero, never touched it in your life, you will come up with a zero. If you don't come up with a zero, there is a zero to X number, and I don't know the number of nanograms it could be in your system. And right, he has at the 35 nanograms, which is under their threshold of positive or negative. However, being diluted automatically gives you a positive test result. So this could be a simple trying to quit situation for a heavy user that trying to quit and get out the system and drank too much water and subsequently had a diluted sample. Or this could be someone who doesn't know anything about consequences or repercussions and thinks that they can do whatever they want. The way Mr. Josh Gordon responded on Twitter saying, if you want a real story, hit me up type thing with a smirky face. I tend to
want to hear both sides of the story and see what kind of explanation Mr. Gordon has. But right now, it doesn't look too good for him at all. The dilution, the positive, however you want to put it, why put yourself in this situation? Why even, still do it until you feel positive enough that when you stop and you go to give the sample, you will be clean? It's just ridiculous. This kid, all the talent in the world, all the, what we saw from the glimpses on the field, was a pure talented wide receiver that can make some noise in the NFL given the right system and the right quarterback. Now we've got a guy that's possibly going to be banned for another year and out of this league, and he's living with Johnny Manziel. Now, does that, what does that mean and everything? And well, to me, you are his elder. First off. Second off, he's in worse shape than you are. Two wrongs don't make a right, square hole, round peg. The situation is just all wrong all around. So a wasted talent. I'm afraid he's never probably going to see the field again if it's not for a Canadian Football League. If I'm not mistaken, it's legal there, so it's free. Or fear, however you want to take it, the CFL is where he will go play. This is a substance that he cannot shake, that he cannot break, but we can see the talent there, and there is no subsequent, field issues from the usage. It's all off the field and legality and not being smart enough to stop using. I think the CFL is a place where he ends up going and taking his talent. After this year, because I think the NFL field, with the way that their rules are set up, that they're not going to allow that kind of stuff. He just can't stop doing it. So CFL or the European League or, sit on your couch and smoke the weed, whatever you want to do, but the NFL is not in this kid's future anymore.
Okay, Tommy, your thoughts on this situation? I mean, am I beating him up too bad? I mean, do you feel sorry for him, or do you have a twist to this situation? And also, I mean, you are a couple years removed from this same situation with Ricky Williams, like I just mentioned, but this, you caught Ricky after they basically brought him back and told him to cut it out, and he stopped. Josh Gordon watched this happen to him several different times. Like, when do they get the picture?
Yeah, I don't feel sorry for him. I mean, not to talk my esteem when he said he was living with Manziel. That just shows you the character of both of them. They're both putting themselves in dumb situations. So in my book, let them rent whatever they're living in. Enjoy smoking the weed and your booze and your alcohol. Waste all the talent you all had. Enough said. It just shows you right there.
Okay. I mean, it's interesting that, these guys have these young lifestyles that are going to continue. And I mean, you can't actually throw Johnny Manziel into this situation because Johnny Manziel just got caught again in the middle of a Vegas and L.A. party situation because, Vegas and L.A. are only a few hours away from each other so that the party can keep on rolling, whether he's going out to California or coming right back to Sin City, where the parties are basically in every building. So I know because I go out there every December.
And they're flying jets, so it's less than an hour.
right. And they got that type of money. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, Johnny Manziel, and they already, and this is the, and a lot of people, especially when Shayla come here or, pick on the situation with Johnny Manziel, where a lot of people are actually at bat for Johnny Football. There's nobody at bat for you, Josh. I mean, you got strength and condition coaches trying to get you back to NFL speed, so on and so forth. I seen him during his workout. He looked awesome. And then you have this situation going on. Leave it alone. Like, that's like, I see the meme, right? They somebody put a meme up, right? And it was supposed to be funny, but it made you think. It really made you think, right? if you had 10 chances, and I hate to throw this out here at Sports City-wise, but I am, this vibe of me, Sports City, say if you had 10 chances to hit one half-court shot, right? If you hit the one half-court shot, you would get $20 million. If you hit one out of the 10, right? If you missed all 10, it was 2 years in prison. Think about that. I mean, would you walk the fine line and forget everything? Would you actually jeopardize the situation and keep throwing the ball into the pot and see if you could make it happen without getting caught or getting caught? And he's getting caught. You see what I'm saying? Like, so it's interesting. Like, and not to say that this will be something that will leave him in prison, you know what I'm saying? But this is where his livelihood could stumble into. You know what I'm saying? So this is what I'm looking at with Josh Gordon. Tremendous talent out of college. Came into the league and set the league on fire, led the league in receiving, and then it's like he can't get out of his own way, wanting to party. Especially now, look. I hate to sound rude in saying this, Horsley. I hate to say this. You actually helped yourself out. You did this enough so Cleveland didn't want you anymore. So there's teams in the league that could pick you up. You fought your way out of Cleveland. And you're still messing up. And you're still messing up. Like I just don't get it. I don't get it. Wow. anything else in front of the situation that's for Josh Gordon as of right now? As we get closer to the hotter months of May, June, when they're getting ready for training camp, and then July right before preseason, and August is right around the corner. Yeah, I'm pushing it. I'm pushing it, Sports City. I'm pushing football to get here, damn it. Shoot, the draft coming. Now, how about that? The draft is coming. How about that? But anything else before we get away from that also?
Just the fact that you hit it on the head and real quickly, just imagine if you can go back, and I couldn't look it up quick enough, go back and look at the quarterbacks Josh Gordon had thrown to him that season he led the league. And tell me that you pick out one of the top 6 to 7 quarterbacks in the league and you put him on that team that they just don't thrash everyone and every defense. That's just ridiculous in the fact that he would throw that opportunity away because we all know when Mr. Double B, Bill Belichick, sees talent and it's out there on the market for very cheap, you know, he could have had the opportunity to play with Tom Brady. You know, he could have had the opportunity to play with an Eli Manning or Andy Dalton, a Joe Flacco, teams that can get him the ball with good quarterbacks that have a steady, a stable, organization. He threw that all away to smoke some weed. That just it shows you the mindset that he's in, and how much of a knucklehead he is.
You know, and it's tough. Like I'm saying, the scenarios that can be painted for them to actually try and reinstate him and put him somewhere where he could actually make a name for himself or be put into a system where he could run in front of a mentor that could actually guide him on the right, you know, the right path. Because let's be honest, him being in Cleveland, he's going to try and be around the cool crew. And I hate to kind of call it out like I'm the oldie bunch, you know, the old guy here trying to say, oh, you want to be around the cool crowd. But, of course, he's going to want to be around his peers to help him feel comfortable. And you have him around a guy that's already struggling and in and out of a rehab situation in itself. So it's like, I don't know. So he got himself out of there, unfortunate situation, which actually ended up being fortunate for him. And I just don't know how to paint this picture any worse. Like, hopefully the NFL don't, get too tough on him, but I think they're going to make an example out of him. I think they will. I truly do. Tommy, anything before we get away from it?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, so we had a couple of games go down this afternoon. I know there was one that he wanted to touch on in an offensive onslaught up in the New England area where I am. Tommy, your thoughts on the O's and the Sox?
Yeah, I watched this.
I'm telling you right now, you better be able to slug with this Orioles offense. This team can hit the baseball. And we said this before on the baseball show, that this Orioles team was going to be able to slug. It was going to come down to pitching. They are slugging the baseball. And this is with Adam Jones out with that rib cage. Now, he did come in the bottom of the ninth to field. But this offense can be dangerous. And they're undefeated so far. I'm telling you, this Buck Showalter's got something going on in Baltimore.
So do you think this is the year of the Orioles in the AL East, or is it just out of the gate that they're looking good and they're taking advantage of the pitchers basically trying to get their arms working or underneath them?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I want to see them when they play Toronto, because Toronto is still in my book the favorite. But like I said on the show, any four teams can win that division. Boston can still win this division. New York can still win this division. Toronto, Baltimore. But, I mean, wow. You better be able to slug with them, because if you don't, you're not beating them.
Okay. Now I kind of want to actually turn the tray around, because I know, you're a fan of baseball, but not big into it. But knowing how everything did go down this weekend, especially with Will Smith, I know that, and I'm still trying to figure out more about the situation, even though this is a very ugly and gruesome situation, watching a key component to an NFL franchise being Will Smith to that New Orleans Saints situation. Now you have Sean Payton speaking out on the violence/gun situation going down there in New Orleans. Now, this is where it finally took you to come out and speak more toward this, when this has been going on in the New Orleans, Louisiana area for quite some time, but it had to get close to home for a big name and a big mind like Sean Payton to come out and speak toward the Will Smith incident that just happened this weekend. Your thoughts on this? I mean, it's senseless, but knowing that the football world and sport world alike are in an uproar about, somebody passing just because of a car accident, in which, though, Will Smith did cut the guy off, but there is no need for you to go next level. That's at least how I feel. Like, the argument, the discussion, if you guys are going to scrap and fight, I mean, not to say that I'm egging on that you guys go out there and fight. I'm not egging that on, but I'm just saying, like, use better judgment, because now potentially you're in jail for life and he's gone and can't bring him back, turn things around, none of that. So, I mean, now Sean Payton speaking out, do we get more people around the NFL? Do we get more people in the Louisiana area that are big names? Do you get a Benson to speak up, being the owner of the Pelicans and the Saints? Does he speak up in retrospect to somebody who played, a good amount of time with his organization? Your thoughts?
From what I've read and what Tommy posted us in and the further I read about it, cutting the man off might not have been the only thing or transgression that the killer might have wanted to pull the trigger for. If you've read or if you don't know, read up on it. The killer is apparently a recipient in a wrongful death lawsuit against one of Will Smith's friends, which is a former security guard at the Superdome for the New Orleans Saints. It's very convoluted, probably the way I explained it. It's hard to follow. Read about it, and you'll see that this story is what it is when it pertains to a senseless murder and things of that nature. The problem with, Sean Payton and him coming out now and him coming out and stating how, pretty much just stating what everyone already knows is going on
demeaning it or saying that it needs to stop is kind of irrelevant. Like you said, it really does take the higher ups and you know, this not only being this not only being a New Orleans thing, Chicago thing, Washington D.C., Phoenix, L.A., New York, wherever you want to, you know, wherever you want to bring the talk about killing minorities, killing other minorities, it is what it is. These two knew each other. They had a past. For whatever reason, there was a hatred, and they boiled over. The cutting off was probably the boiling point, the tipping point, and it set the alleged gunman over the edge. What I feel or fear that this is coming out is now the New Orleans Saints feel that they have the opportunity to shed light on situation for their own benefit. Now this gets to sell jerseys and they get to have Will Smith commemorative night. They get to do all sorts of things. And the problem with Sean Payton's statement with the Saints organization and the NFL in general is that this is not a senseless act. This is not a death that hurts not only his wife, not only his family, and not only the future family that he would have had. This is a cha-ching money grab. This is everything that the NFL wants, and they are going to use every outlet and every ability they can to make money off of this and to use this man's name as a way to gain viewers and gain a bigger bottom line. So it's sickening to me the way Sean Payton comes out and acts like this is something new, like this is a problem that hasn't already existed before he got there and while he's been there. It's just really disheartening come on now. You're not that naive, and you're not that dumb. You know the problem, so it makes me sick that now it's just a ploy for the NFL to get more money, and it's just it's wrong. It's really wrong.
Okay, Tommy, your thoughts on head coach Sean Payton speaking out about the New Orleans area and the gun control situation that's going on. This has been going on for years, just like Nasir hit on. This has been going on for a while, but it had to get close to home for a guy of his facet to step up and speak on this situation.
Nasir said pretty much everything. I mean, I think it is kind of sickening that you say something now after one of your players happened when it's been going on for years. I mean, hell, we all know who Master P is. And he's been speaking on it since he's been doing music. And,
right.
I mean, everything he ever, every song he ever put was about his city. So why would you say something now? I mean, it's going on for years. But I do hope if they want to make you some money saying it everything, I hope they go and give it to the Smith family like the Redskins did for Sean Taylor and his family. Everything they did that they got, they donated it to the Taylor family. I'm hoping the Smith family gets some money.
I just wonder, you know, how much the financial means will actually help them, you know, because he made a good amount of money. He made good coin while he was in the league, you know, but it's just tough. You can't bring the loss of life back, man, especially a guy who's, you know, coming from everything they bring there, an Ohio State guy going there and getting a Super Bowl ring. I mean, did it the right way, as much as I'm not a big Ohio State guy or not a Saints fan either, but it's just tough. But now it has to, you know, with Sean Payton going out there, you need other guys to come out and speak on this. You know, I know a lot of people in Sports City don't like him, but Alvin Gentry has to come out and speak on this situation. Like I said, Tom Benson also, being an owner, needs to step out there, being a billionaire, sitting on money. Speak on it, man. Don't let these guys just die and be forgotten by guys that are in the hierarchy Like, you guys have to speak on this also, man. I really feel bad about the situation. The people, the Smith family, his wife, the kids, you know, it's senseless at the end of the day. But these guys are in big-time cities and have to make, you know, judgment calls at the end of the day. Is it safe to go out in there? Is it safe to cut somebody off right there? Because you never know what's going to happen. You never know what's going to happen. Okay, we got 10 minutes left. I want to see if you guys have a topic or two that you guys would like to discuss before we get close to shutting this one down. Nacho, I'll let you throw one out first.
The awful organization that is the Phoenix Suns have thrown Mike D'Antoni's name into the mix of head coaches that they're looking for next year. Like I said, something needs to be done, whatever it is. I don't know, as a fan, there's only so many letters I can write and so many words for disdain for this front office. But, you know, the fact that you would try to bring someone back that we know is already here and didn't do anything significant in the way of winning a championship, it boggles my mind. I don't know what's going on. Other than that, if you guys want to speak on that, or, you know, it's just I don't understand what the Suns organization is doing. You know, we watch members like Goran Dragic and Isaiah Thomas lead their teams to playoffs while we're over here twiddling our thumbs, you know, losing games and winning meaningless games at the end of the season, getting out of reach for a good player. I'm just at all. And it's just ridiculous. The Phoenix Suns, I don't know what's going on with them. But, you know, whether, you know, we talk about teams blowing up the players, someone, whether it's the owner or the city of Phoenix or the mayor, or, you know, the president of the United States, blow up that front office and get some new people in there because they have absolutely no idea what they're doing.
Okay, Tommy, your thoughts on the Phoenix Suns. Does this last into the upcoming season? They just got a big win up against the Houston Rockets to actually put the Rockets in a crazy situation as it is of right now. Your thoughts on if they could turn it around? They also have Tyson Chandler coming back for the deal that they signed him to. Your thoughts on this Suns team?
Phoenix fans need to watch the NBA TV when they show the folding years, because there's not going to be any good years for a long time, I'm afraid. Because the ownership seems like they're just after money instead of wins. I don't know what else to say. I mean, I feel bad for people like Nacho and all that are Phoenix fans. I really do.
Well, they have some interesting names. They have Booker there, a guy that is a dead-arm shooter. Goodwin as well. I mean, they have names there. They have a young group. Tyson Chandler is actually one of the, you know, elder statesmen, if you will, of this team. I don't know how they get out of their situation, especially losing a coach like Hornacek. Who do they get down there? Because not only do they have young potential in trying to get a marquee coach there, Minnesota's another team that has young talent there, but I don't know if Sam Mitchell's the guy also. So it's like, what coaches are out there that want to make the jump to either go to Phoenix and be in the sun, deal with that heat, or go to Minnesota and be around those lakes and all that cold there with the young talent on both of these teams? So it's tough, especially with both of these teams being in the Western Conference. I do not know how the turnaround is going to be, but looking at the situation for Tyson Chandler, he is a guy to build around. I mean, as much as I'm not big on him, I do understand why they signed him for a four-year deal, see if things work out, could try to extend them and see how the rest of the pieces actually fall in play for this Phoenix Suns team. But it's an uphill battle, especially with them being in the Western Conference. You can't win, or you can't be a top eight seed if you're going to win, let's just say, 35 games on the season, not in the Western Conference. It won't happen. It won't happen.
Okay,
yeah,
well,
I know that they're not. I know that they're not going to take my advice. There's two names that as a Phoenix Suns fan, win, lose, or horrible losses throughout the year, I would go see these two coaches, and that would be Gino Auriemma and Mr. Jay Wright. Those two coaches, I think, you know, give them a chance in the NBA, take this team. You know, it is what it is, but I think with those two guys, I would be a little excited for the coaching carousel out there. You know, there's one guy that I obviously would go, you know, shooting over the moon for, and Mr. Tom Thibodeau, but my organization doesn't know a good talented coach when they see it, and when they do, they fire him. So I'm afraid he probably won't be on their radar, but Gino Auriemma or Jay Wright probably would make my day a little better.
Interesting. And I want to see how Gino would look coaching men. That's the one thing I want to see. Is the way that he had these girls in tip-top condition and being able to go two straight years unbeaten. The UConn women went undefeated two straight years. Like, wow. It just to see what he could do with a team, you know, guys with money and in their own personal world, it'll be interesting if he could get the same output, you know, out of these guys. But that's all hearsay, speculation, if it were to happen. Him or Jay Wright, they said that these guys have been entertained with it. Who's to say that if they actually take the shot? But I think it'll take some big money for them to leave either Storrs, Connecticut, or Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Okay. We are at the tail end of the show. Like I said, I am going to get this last little bit of the Lakers versus the Thunder, the last home game for the Thunder, though. But I need plugs, closeout promos from both of you before we get out of here. Nacho, I'll go to you first. Anything that you'd like to plug, promote, shout out? Here you have it at the wrap-up.
I got the National Air Force flying overhead, so sorry about that. The at Nacho in the Box, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. There was a quick snippet I had to say about MMA, but it totally slipped my mind, so I'll just let it go. Maybe it'll remind me. Tomorrow, though, gentlemen, you know, topics, bring them in. I have one. I want you to simmer on it. I did tease it last week, but I'll give you guys a little 24 hours to think about it and stew on it. The top three quarterbacks next year, without a Super Bowl ring to turn it around, by taking their team to the playoffs, maybe even winning a Super Bowl ring for the first time. You know, throw that out there. I'll bring it up tomorrow. But quarterbacks that we don't think about when we start spitting out the best or the elite, that we think next year we'll take that turn for the better. We always talk negatively, and we always got something to say about Mr. Manziel and how crappy he is and these other crappy quarterbacks, Kaepernicks and stuff like that. So tomorrow I'm going to bring that in, talk a little positive football, and see which of these guys we think will actually make the turn for the better. Stew on that, think on that for about 24 hours, guys. I'll bring that up tomorrow. Thanks for the show, Tommy. Ty, thank you, guys. And Wednesday, I haven't been there. I'll try to make it this Wednesday, talk a little baseball, see my Diamondbacks. They're not doing too well. I just need some pitching to go in order. And Greinke's gotten thrashed those first two starts. So I know we'll have a little fun with that. Hopefully Chandler's here. I know he'll like to rip on Greinke. We'll see what's going on. Again, Ty, thank you. And Tom, thanks for letting me come in tonight.
No doubt. But if you're talking about teams that are doing bad out the gate, just look at Minnesota. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to say nothing else. Like they got me feeling so bad. I'm like hanging on to the basketball season. Like, please. Like, I'm like, Tom, I need a plug, close out, shout out. Anything that you'd like to promote as we shut it down here at the wrap up?
Yeah, this show, Nacho, Ty, I'm going to say the same thing I closed out with yesterday. And we'll do it until that little bitch ass gets in that octagon with John Jones and stop faking with these injuries and all and coming up with some Cormier getting a rent on the octagon. Stop hiding.
Wow. That's the closeout, Sports City. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs. The chef will be back here tomorrow, same time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard. The grill will be lit. The cookout. Anything that y'all want to talk about, we will discuss it. Come in here and talk to us, man. Sports City, we are back focused. The regular season is almost over, and I got to get the hell out of the kitchen because I got to go watch the Mamba, Durantula, and Meet Me. On that note, tell the printer, this is the chef again. They don't know, now they know.
We did it like that, and now we do it like this. We did it like that, and now we do it like this.
Yeah.